The following study is a Sunday morning lesson given by Pastor Brett Metter at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
Let's get to it. Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22? You guys are going to love our topic of the day. I have to say, I've been avoiding this topic, but you can't go through the book of Proverbs without dealing with this issue, because the Proverbs has tons of stuff to say about the topic of spanking. I love that story of the church service like this one, you know, in the deep South. And there's this preacher preaching, and this little boy is making a ruckus in the front couple rows, making a bunch of ruckus. And everybody's kind of looking over, and the father's frustrated, and the little boy's just, you know, playing and stuff and messing up with stuff. Well, finally, the father just grabs the kid like a football, feet forward, head backward, and just starts carrying him out of the sanctuary in frustration. And the little kid's looking, and the congregation's looking, the preacher stops, and the little boy with that southern charm, he said, "Y'all pray for me now." Oh, man. Spanking. What does the Bible have to say? What does the world have to say? I'm always interested, you know, can I give you a word of caution, church, when you Google stuff nowadays? Googling is, there's algorithms. And it's just now becoming a thing where people are saying, man, be careful, because the algorithms of Google search are very biased. I wonder if they've changed it yet. A few weeks ago, there was a thing where, did you guys see the thing where if you go on Google and you type "women can," and you know how the Google tries to predict what your sentence is going to be? It's "women can," and all the predictors are, "do anything. Women can bear children. Women can think for themselves. Women are better than men. Women," and it's all this beautiful, positive stuff about women, which is great. But then change gears and just type in "men can," and then see what it says. "Do nothing. Be idiots. Cannot give birth to children, are abusive, men can be horrible people." It's an amazing, you know, and you're like, wow, how did that algorithm come up like that? Another thing that we as Bible people suspect is that there's a great bias against truth, especially as it relates to Scripture. And I'll tell you, this is one, if you Google spanking, is it okay to spank children? Man, you will find, of course not. It's horrible, abusive, and spanking children is the wrong thing to do. And the American Psychological Association and Psychology Today and, you know, all these children authors and stuff, man, they'll be right at the top of everything. And you will not find anything on pro-spanking. Now, by the way, if you get off of Google and do some real research, you might actually be shocked that there's actually universities that have been honest enough to talk about how there actually are benefits of spanking children. So be careful. Don't just be a Google head. Be careful on this stuff. But the Bible has a lot to say about spanking. Now, I'm going to make many disclaimers because so many people don't know what true, loving, biblical spanking really looks like. In fact, I would just venture in my casual observation of parents and my counseling I've done over the years as a children's pastor of 13 years and a youth pastor after that, I have some perspective on this. I even, you know, have a degree in elementary education. I did my student teaching, and it's a world that I'm somewhat familiar with, the children. I love kids. And here's the thing. Much of what's done out there in the name of spanking is abusive, and people do it wrong. They just do. Hopefully I'll help you kind of see what godly biblical spanking actually looks like. Now, I know some of you single people are going to check out and say, "Oh, I'm not married, I don't have kids, whatever, Brett, well, this is a throwaway Sunday." No, 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 no. What, you think I'm going to get married and have children? It's possible. I've had people say that's never going to happen, and it's amazing how things change over time. But that's not even my point. My point is, there's something about spanking that speaks into the character and the nature of God that everyone needs to know about. And I hope to show you that. So don't tune out. Tune in. This is important for all of us. If you're a high school kid, junior higher, if you're a single person, this is as important to you as it is for parents, grandparents, and what have you. So don't tune out on this one. But the problem is there's been so much abusive type behavior from parents that I can see why the world would quickly jump on the bandwagon of anti-spanking, because so many people do it wrongly. But what does the Bible have to say about this? Well, in chapter 22, this is what sort of springboards our conversation. In Proverbs 22:15, it says there, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. One of the things you'll note in the Proverbs when it talks about spanking, which I'll show you a bunch of other scriptures in Proverbs, you never see the hand of correction. You never see a parent smacking the behind of a child with their hand. And so you read this thing about the rod. Now the world, beating the child. It's all about the language you use. Beating a child with a weapon is wrong. Well, that sounds pretty true. But you have to understand, the rod of correction, what we're saying here is a paddle. And we'll talk about appropriate in a second, but, beating them. The thing is, there's some language in the Bible that translated from the Hebrew to the 1611 English of the King James often gets lost, and some of the language sounds more brutal than what should really be being taken place. You got to go to the original Hebrew to hear the heart behind what's being said. So be careful on these things. But I want to show you through these Proverbs some things that really should compel us to see the value of spanking children. Now, here's the thing. When you're talking about spanking and stuff like that, you also have to be kind of careful because there's people that don't understand what happens when you don't spank, when you're not spanking children. Before we get into why we do spank children, let me just tell you just really quickly from what I've seen and experienced, but also there's been studies done, and the studies say there's four main things that happen when a parent neglects to discipline, correct their child in the way of spanking. First of all, there's frustration in the child. Frustration in the child. Secondly, there's division in the home. Thirdly, exhaustion in parenting, particularly for the mothers, studies show. And then fourthly, devastation for a nation. That spanking our children helps grow big adults. In fact, let me just say this. This is important. This is kind of the theme of the day. It's easier to build a child than to repair an adult. Do you know that? You adults know this to be true, don't you? It's easier to build a child than to repair an adult. And that's the problem. So many broken children and kids that didn't get certain lessons. And by adulthood, it's so hard to change those habits that were developed when you were young, when you were impressionable. Kids, man, they can learn so well, so quickly. Just show the example of, for example, language acquisition. You know, it's amazing how little kids can glean languages, you know, and that's why a lot of parents now are saying, man, we want to teach our kids French and Spanish and, you know, different Chinese, Japanese. Like, we've got parents in our congregation that see, wow, our kids are like little sponges. Teach them as much as you can while their brains are still working. Once you're past 18, you might as well check it out. It doesn't work anymore. not really, but it is amazing how our you know, as we're developing as little kids, we can get so much. But parents miss that window, and so it's hurting, I think, our nation. It's hurting our families. What do you mean frustration in the child? If I was a child and never got a spanking, I wouldn't be frustrated. You know, it's interesting. Spanking has been proven to be a sort of a reset and a restart, and it actually can be a good thing. And this is something that I knew about as a kid. I did my little dastardly deeds and my little sinful things, and man, when I got a spanking, I hated a spanking. I hated getting spanked, especially from my dad. But you know, there was something that really was unique about if you're doing this correctly. And again, if you're doing it wrongly, I can't defend what you're doing. But if you're doing spanking the right way, this is the way it works out every time. I felt a deep love and affection for my parents. I felt a relief that I had a brand new start and that my sin or whatever I did was behind us. And my parents always were quick to explain to me how it all worked, right? Do you understand what you did wrong? Yes. That's why you're going to get a spanking. Hated that part. But once I got the spanking, Man, I knew I wasn't going to get a spanking at least till tomorrow. Man, I was free. And I was in good standing with my parents. See, that's the difference. I could leave my bedroom or wherever I got the spanking, and I knew that I was good with my mom and dad, and things were good. And that relief was so good for me as a little kid. And there's so many parents that they're little rascals, do stuff, but they just say, stop doing that. You're naughty. Don't do that. And then they're constantly scolding and doing all this stuff, but there's never an end. It's just this constant pressure on the head of a child, and there's something about spanking that will help alleviate that frustration in the child. Now, there's so many things here, but let's kind of dive in why we should spank our kids. Why do we spank our kids? Why do Christians believe that maybe more than non-Christians? Well, if you're a Bible believer, you've got an argument with God if you're anti-spanking. That's the problem. If you're tempted to get up and leave, which last night we had a bunch of people leave, so before I want to get, don't leave. Hear me out. And then you can be mad at me or whatever. But remember, you're not mad at me, you're mad at the Bible. Just saying. So let's back up a little bit in the Proverbs. Let's probe the Proverbs as it relates to what spanking is, okay? Proverbs chapter 13 is where we'll kind of begin our probing. Why discipline? And if you want, you can number these. I've got like seven, I think, things I want to share with you why spanking is appropriate, why we should do it, why we do it as parents. And we'll number them 1 through 7. The first scripture is Proverbs 13:24. And there it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasten him betimes. Now, this is where I do appreciate King James, because have you ever noticed in the King James there's words we don't even use anymore? 1611 English. When was the last time you used the word betimes? I like to eat hot fudge sundaes. Betimes. What does that mean? Well, the word betimes, if you look up in the old English dictionaries, it means immediately and with consistency. And so here it is, the Bible saying, if you spare the rod, you hate your son, but he that loveth him will chasten him betimes, consistently and immediately. By the way, this is where parents drop the ball all the time. One of the things that I think can contribute to more of an abusive spanking pattern is not being immediate and also not being consistent. It's that old thing where, you know, junior's doing stuff. Now, Junior, stop that right now. If you do that again, you're going to get a spanking. And Junior does it again. And they will test you. And then you say, now really, this time, I'm not going to spank you this time, but this time for real. Does it again. Okay, you've really done it. I've told you once, I've told you twice, I've told you three times. This is the one. And if you're doing that, you're teaching your kid to disobey. That's what you're teaching them. You're teaching them how far can they push the limit in sin and pull it off and get away with it. That's what you're instructing your children to do. And it's confusing to the child. But also, if it's confusing, maybe, but it also becomes the child realizing, wow, I can manipulate mom. I'm going to push her right to the edge. And kids are good at this. They're gifted. You didn't teach them this. This was a little sin nature that was built right into their little souls. How they can push that as far as they can, and they'll work you over. And that's why there's so many moms frustrated at the end of the day, and dads that are like, well, what's going on? Why are our kids? Consistency and immediacy. That's what this betimes mean. And so if you're writing down number one, what do we write down here? Why do we discipline? Why do we spank our children? Number one, because we love them. It's because we love them. It says that if you love your son, you'll chasten him immediately and consistently, betimes. Now, a lot of people will misconstrue spanking as hating your child and being abusive. And if you just haul off and whack your kid with your hand, that's abusive, that's hateful and mean. So much of it's done wrongly. But if your motivation is because you love them, that's going in the right direction. And let me just say this. If you're getting ready to discipline your child out of anger, that's abusive. You don't discipline children when you're angry. That's not the right way to do it. Man, I feel bad for so many people who didn't have a good model. A lot of your parents modeled the wrong way to do it. I just happened to have a dad and a mom who modeled the right way to do it. My dad never once raised his voice at us. He was an intimidating guy. He is still. He's a formidable dude, 6'3", 220 pounds, construction foreman, superintendent, just a man's man. But he never yelled at us or he never threatened us. It was all math. Brett, if you pull Jenny's hair, you will get a spanking. You could take that to the bank, man. If my dad said that if I pulled Jenny's hair, I was going to get a spanking, man, guarantee. I learned to trust my father. He never quivered on that, never wavered, never faltered on his promises. He was 100%. It was all math to him. Very little emotion when it came to, it wasn't a threat, it was a promise. And see, that's the problem. A lot of parents get upset and they get their dander up and they're getting irritated, agitated, and they're threatening. That's where it all goes haywire, and that's where we're teaching our kids the wrong behavior. And I'm just going to say this. People are going to hate me for it. I think men are better at this math thing than women are. Women feel things so deeply, which is why we like women. Women have a sensitivity and a nurture and a love for children that I don't even know if men are quite capable of the same level. But because of that, the Lord uses us differently. And that's why the dads can be sort of that math, that balance, the logic, and we still need the nurturing and compassion of the mother. That's why it takes a mother and a father to raise children. Well, great, Brett, I'm a single parent. What am I supposed to do? Give up. No, just kidding. No, I'll tell you what the answer is to that. The reason I joke about that is that's the heart. You've got a tall order right there. Being a single parent, that's just hard. And let me just give you some word of encouragement. The Lord can fill in that gap, but you got to lean on the Lord. You got to lean in. If you're a single parent, don't just trust your own self. Lean into the Lord, put your trust in him, and let the Lord bring that logic or that compassion, that perfect balance of what a mom and a dad will offer. You as a single parent, you got to try to fill both of those gaps. Tall order. And apart from God, I don't think you can even do it very well. But with the Lord, all things are possible. Praise the Lord for that. So I'm not trying to make you feel bad as a single. I'm just telling you, let's game on, man. Don't think that, I'll just do it. I'm better as a parent, a single parent. Nope. You're going to have to get your A game on to survive. That's important. Takes a mom and a dad. But I love that. When I grew up, if my mom was a little emotional, my dad was sort of the anchor. But man, if I needed compassion, I didn't go to my dad. I went to my mom. If I needed a Band-Aid for my boo-boos, that was mom. My dad would say, just make sure and clean up the blood after you're done. It's a little different kind of, but that's that perfect balance, you see. But here's the thing. With that not yelling and screaming and, all that, it was always, I never once questioned whether my parents loved me. Even in the middle of a spanking, I had no question that my parents loved me. And my parents would even, my dad would say, Brett, I'm doing this because I love you. And I'm like, can you love me some other way? I don't like paddling and spanking. The paddle is something I didn't like. My dad would keep it in the hall closet. And I'd hear that hall closet door open, and it sent shivers down my spine. His hand, however, was always a hand of blessing. That's why the Bible prescribes a paddle. The hand should be an instrument of love and kindness. Your hand should never bring pain to your child. That's ridiculous. And so some people say it's more humane to do the hand. No, the Bible is right and humanity is wrong. On this stuff where people push against God and against his word, remember what Romans says? Paul says, let God be true and every man a liar. So if you're saying the Bible's wrong on this, the Bible says you're a liar and you don't know what you're talking about. So this issue of the paddle. So when Deb and I had children, we got this little paddle. It was a little light piece of wood about this wide and had a little handle and had a little picture and some words that said Board of Correction applied to the seat of learning. Had a little picture of a guy with some overalls that were kind of worn through in the seat, and he was bending over a fence, and just kind of cute. And then on the back side, it said, victim, sign here. And so there was Joey, Casey, Brooke, they signed. That was our paddle. And it was never our hand. But what's interesting about this is that, you know, the Bible says if you spare that rod, you actually hate your son. Well, Brett, I could never hate my son. The idea is your behavior in chalking off what the Bible's telling us is right is actually an act of hatred. Whether you want to admit it or not, if you want to go with the rest of the world and say that we know more than God knows, then you are doing what God says is the equivalent of hatred toward your own child. Do you see the gravity of this topic? This is why so many people, I feel like they're missing out, and we wonder why we're having so many troubles and what's going on. But the first reason we discipline our children and use the vehicle at times of spanking is because we love them. That's number one. Should always be done in love, never in anger, because we love them. Number two, flip on over a page or two. Now let's go to chapter 19. Chapter 19. And there, this is point number two, and it's chapter 19, verse 18. And there it says, in 19:18, it says, chasten or discipline thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Notice the margin. Some of you have newer translations, or your margin there when it says for his crying, it says, or his destruction, or to cause him to die. Huh? What? One of the things the Bible says about spanking is you are actually saving your child from death. Well, maybe literal death, but also spiritual death and otherwise. I'll show you that in a second. But it says, chasten thy son while there is hope. So reason number two, why do we discipline? Why do we spank our kids? Because we have great hopes for them. We are hopeful for our children. That's point number two. Because we're hopeful. We want to see our kids do well. And if you want that to happen, you need to discipline them while there's still hope. The point, there's a window of opportunity, and this is what parents miss out. And as an old youth pastor, I saw this time and time again, where parents just put off and procrastinate. Hey, why procrastinate today when I can procrastinate tomorrow? And parents come and they say, Brett, you need to fix our child. You know, you're the youth pastor. Fix them. How old are they? 15? And why didn't you work on this when they were 6 or 5 or 3? It gets a lot harder the older the kids get. You got a small window of when you can actually really teach and train your children and help them to learn right from wrong and show them wisdom versus foolishness. And man, your kids will learn it if you're consistent and loving. And it says, man, while there's still hope. And man, if you're already behind the game, you got to start. Now, what is that window of spanking? You know, discipline happens, I think, all the way to when kids are, you know, 18, maybe even as long as they're living in the home under your roof. But spanking is kind of a smaller window. And when do you start spanking and stuff like that? That's an interesting topic. For many, you never start spanking, of course, obviously a little baby. But there is a point where that little child gets that age, a big baby, where they want to reach for things and touch things that they shouldn't, and they'll look at you with that little eye of willfulness. Now I got to say something. This is huge. Parents make this mistake all the time. You never spank a child because of an accident. Do you understand that? Mom and Dad, this is huge. If they are accidentally doing something, you don't spank them for that. If they wet the bed, I hear parents, well, they wet the bed, spank them. That's abuse. That's abuse. It's got to be something that the child is willfully doing. Now let me give you a little more of a specific example. Let's say the little kid on the high chair is playing around and is taking the food and turns around and knocks the milk over. Is that a spankable offense? No. Why? Because it's an accident. But what if that little child is sitting there and is at that age, you know, maybe, you know, year and a half, 2 years old, and they're looking at you and they're looking at their milk and you say, now don't do it. And they grab their milk and they're holding it over like this and don't do it. And then they just take it and throw it down and look at you like, now what are you going to do, Mom? Is that a spankable offense? Yes. See, there's a difference between willful disobedience and just a mistake. And some parents don't get this. This is 101, man. But with a little year and a half or two-year-old, is that a little slap on the wrist? Like if they're touching the hot stove, I remember Deb and I would just do a little slap on the wrist. Like, what was that all about, Mom? I thought you always show kindness and this is new. A little slap on the wrist was just a little reminder. You don't want to do that. But there's a point where a child gets to that age where a little spanking on the behind, I think that's why God created the little padded area on the certain place on the back, where the paddle applied to the seat of learning. Now, there's a window. For my kids, they were all different ages, but Mom and Dad, you need to discern, because somewhere around 8 or 9 years old, spankings became a non-thing in our home. Our kids learned so much before they were 7 or 8, we pretty much retired the paddle by that time. Then you have to be creative and use different forms of discipline, whether it's, hard labor or standing in the corner. I remember when my parents made me stand in a corner, I hated that. I remember standing in the corner one time thinking to myself, when I'm an adult, I'm going to build a round house so there's no corners. Standing in the corner. Does anybody make people stand in the corner anymore? That happened to me. But there's different forms, the naughty mat, or whatever you want to do. I guess there's things you can do. But there's a window of sparing the rod, where that you have, or applying the rod, I should say. It's a small window. And hopefully your kids will learn the basics of wisdom and behavior by that time. If you don't do it, you start to lose the hope. That's why this scripture puts an urgency. Chasten your son while there is hope. So number one, we spank our children because we love them. Number two, we discipline and spank our children because we're hopeful for them. Number three, flip on forward to our text here that we looked at, Proverbs 22. In 22:15, we already read this verse. Number three, the reason we spank our children is to remove foolishness. To remove foolishness. It says in verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Why is foolishness bound in the heart of a child? By the way, this is where secular psychology will sometimes disagree with the Bible. And by the way, much of secular humanism is wrong about this. Philosophy. People argue and debate. They say, is man basically good or is innately evil? And a lot of people assume man is basically good. And we've made a lot of our presuppositions about humanity and behavior based on that dumb conclusion that man is basically good. The Bible says no, humanity is completely bad. And the Bible doesn't even pull on the punches on this one. There's no one righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one that doeth good. There's no one that really seeks after God. Like the Bible just hammers that home. And if you don't believe that, all you got to do is be a parent. As soon as Junior comes, you're not going to teach that little whippersnapper to be manipulative, but they're going to be good at it. Some of you parents don't see that. But all of us on the outside do. The little cute little girl in the pigtails that's, 2.5 years old. And you're like, oh, she's so cute. There's a cute time when they're behaving badly. You're like, oh, that's so cute. But very quickly, it becomes pretty ugly. And yet the parent still thinks it's cute. And they're deceived into thinking, oh, what is that cute? How she just poured out her milk all over the carpet. That was really cute. And you're like, no, it wasn't cute. Kids start to show their sin nature. I never once taught my kids how to lie, but they got really good at it. And that's just human nature. The Bible teaches that. So what are we called to do? Foolishness is sort of equivalent to sinfulness. Doing stupid stuff. That's what humanity, we were born that way. We were born in sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that was the fall of man. That's where sin entered the world. That's where we were all, even the psalmist talked about how we were even conceived in sin. Like we're just born in sin. That's the truth. So you got this interesting challenge, and the Bible says that's what the paddle is for, to remove foolishness. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but as a parent, your job is the rod of the correction will drive it far from him to remove foolishness. So number one, because we love them. Number two, because we're hopeful for them. Number three, to remove foolishness from them. That's why we lovingly, carefully, prayerfully spank our children. Number four on our list, it's in chapter 23. In chapter 23, verse 13 and 14 has a whole dissertation there. It says here, 23:13, withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Does this seem extreme? Well, this is where I was mentioning translation and stuff like this, but I don't want to undo the extremity of this. There's an extreme nature to this, and it's basically saying, man, if you're loving of your children, you want to protect them. You want to rescue them from certain doom and judgment. One of the things I've noticed in parents is in this sort of mushy parenting that we do today is letting the kids just kind of figure stuff out, and they'll learn eventually. They'll get it. But what parents don't see is they're missing out on just some basic common sense sort of logic. When we don't take the role as a parent and drive foolishness from them and preserve them from judgment and knowing what's right and wrong. You see, when you spank children, they learn about consequences that are very real, tangible. You can feel it. But if you don't teach kids that early, they'll grow up thinking, no, I can do whatever I want, and really everything's relative, and there's no real consequences if I do this or that. And a lot of kids, from the 60s to the present day, we've really messed it up. And there's a reason why we have this whole relativism that we all embrace. We have a hard time with right and wrong and absolutes. Why? Because parents haven't taught absolutes. My dad taught me absolute. Brett, if you pull Jenny's hair, you will get a spank. That was an absolute truth. And I learned of absolution very quickly. Very logical because of my dad's logic. And the paddle drove it into me. I wish there was even a little more foolishness driven out of me, but I'm thankful because who knows what I would have been if it wasn't for my dad's paddle. And the same thing is true, Mom and Dad. You're doing your kids a great service to teach them logic and right and wrong and absolutes and good and bad and evil versus good. I'm always amazed at how, you know, every generation likes to criticize the next, the kids nowadays. The poor millennials, you know, they get it right now a lot. Millennials, oh boy, oh brother, those millennials. But I've met a lot of really amazing millennials, so that's cool. But if the millennials are goofy, which there are some goofy ones, what do you mean, Brett? Well, like, you know, you get in a restaurant and they give you an iced tea and the iced tea has a straw in it. The millennial's like, oh, there's a straw. I'm so hurt and offended. What happened with that poor millennial? Boy, I could get into some trouble with this one. Man, have you noticed how, you know, the millennials are so wounded and hurt and things are so tragic and all this? And the reason I laugh at this is because it's our own fault, parents. The parents of millennials, because we largely forsook the spanking and the logic and the biblical raising up of kids, we've got this real wishy-washy sort of mindful, ignorant bliss of what's really going on in the world. That's the problem. And really, the Bible says, man, be careful, because if you're not doing that as a parent, you may be not delivering their soul from even hell. Why is it the millennials are bailing out of the church by the droves? And I think it has to do with the worldview that parents allowed their kids to have of just this wishy-washy openness to whatever, and your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, relativism, you know, and all that stuff. I believe that's because we've forsaken this right here, where it says that, man, withhold not correction from the child. If you beat him with the rod, he will not die. And also, beat him with a rod, and you'll deliver his soul from hell. The reason we spank our kids is to rescue them from judgment. We need to teach our kids to have respect for the authority of God, for the absolute truth of the Bible. We need to teach our kids the right and the wrong and good versus evil and not wishy-washy mindlessness. So that's part of spanking. We do it because we love them, number one, because we're hopeful for them, number two, because we want to remove foolishness from them, number three, and number four, to rescue them from judgment, number four. Number five, let's go forward to, go to chapter 29. In chapter 29, we actually have two. And the first one's found in verse 15. It says in 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. See, that's where all the older people are, man, the kids nowadays, but really, it's our own fault. And a lot of parents, they look back on their parenting and they think, oh man, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. And they see what their kids have become because of their lack of sticking to what the Bible prescribes for legitimate parenting, including spanking. And so this is on number five, we've got this, you might jot this down, the reason we spank our kids is to receive wisdom, that our kids would receive wisdom. Not only does it drive foolishness far from them, but this verse tells us that when you spank them, they will receive wisdom. The rod and the proof and reproof or correction gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Don't let that happen, mom and dad, with your kids. Singles, are you still listening? Young people, high schoolers, are you listening? This is important. This is not just for old people with kids. There's a lot of truth here that it's going to all tie together here in a second. So we do it to receive wisdom. Number, what are we on, six? Number six, verse 20, chapter 29, verse 17. It says this, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. I don't know exactly what to call this, but I'm going to say it, put it this way. The reason we spank our kids is to relieve anxiety. If you let your kids go on and behave badly with no consequences, well, Brett, we don't spank, but we have a lot of other consequences. Well, I think it's legitimate to have several other options, like I said earlier. But spanking is the one the Bible says the most about. The Bible doesn't talk about the naughty mat, doesn't talk about the corner, doesn't talk about being grounded. It talks about the rod of correction. But I'm not saying that's always the answer, is spanking every single time. And nor does anyone ever get any joy out of spanking their child. It's not that. But one of the things that will happen, according to the Bible, if you correct your son, it'll give you rest. I see a lot of parents who have neglected to spank, and they're anxious, and they're freaked out, and they're wondering what's happening with their kids. And then when they're old enough, it's too late. Don't miss the window of opportunity. It'll relieve your anxiety if you follow the scriptures. Man, we could go on some more, but I'm gonna give you one more, number seven. Number seven. Let's take a look. In fact, we're going to leave Proverbs, and I'm going to show you the seventh one. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Would you flip over to Hebrews in the New Testament? Hebrews, James, right there in that section. Philemon, Hebrews, James, right there. Hebrews, chapter 12. This is where we're going to bring it home. While you're turning there, you know, if you think spanking is cruel, I understand. Because of so many of the wrong ways of spanking. While you're turning there, can I just explain how it's supposed to look? I'm going to give you some painful detail here. Spanking should always be covered in love. So let's say Junior does something wrong. I also love when parents are on the same page. Mom and dad, there's no division between mom and dad. They're on the same page. Even if they're not on the same page, the child should never know that. But I remember my mom and dad would be sitting there saying, Brett, you know, we want you to go to your room. My parents would send me to my room. That's a great thing because that I didn't realize it then, but that's where my parents would be praying about, is this a legitimate spanking offense? or should we have some other form of, you know, correction? They would consider and even talk and pray about that. And if you're a parent, before you just haul off and spank a child, it should never be a reaction. It should be a response. And so sending them off to their room is a great beginning point. And by the way, as a kid, you hate that. I hated that. Because, man, I'd go sit in my room and I'd think, oh, no, what's going to happen? And I'd sit there and think about it. I hated when my dad said, Brett, why don't you go to your room and think about it, and then I'll come in and let you know what's going to happen. Great. Seemed like an eternity in there, you know? Oh, but when that hall closet opened up, I was like, oh. My dad would walk down the hallway and he'd slap the paddle against his leg. And I asked him years later, Dad, were you just trying to freak me out when you did that? Like, what was the slapping it on your knee thing? He said, Brett, I was gauging how hard I should hit you. Not to, of course, bruise or hurt you, but enough to make it sting a little bit. So he was measuring it out, just kind of gauging it out, you know, so that it'd be an appropriate spanking. And that's what we do as parents. You don't want to spank so hard that you're, you know, hurting the child, but it should hurt. What do you mean, hurt or hurt? Which one is it? Well, there's an abusive hurt level, and then there's just a spanking hurt level that kids don't like. It stings, it hurts. By the way, my mom, she's just this little petite, kind-hearted, compassionate, you know, woman, and she used to spank me. And for the longest time, I was like, awesome. Mom is spanking me. And I remember having to get out my, you know, my drama card and start, oh, don't spank me, Mom. It hurts so bad. Wah! Back, back, back. It's like, oh, that feels good. Could you get a little lower? It's like my poor mom. She was so kind. She's like, you know, didn't want to hurt me. I remember when Debbie was spanking Joey one time. I forget. I think Joey was probably like 6 or 7, maybe. And Debbie was giving him a spanking, and he was like, wah, and then he turned around, and he started laughing because it didn't hurt. So it was so painfully not hurting, he was laughing at Debbie. And Debbie just put the paddle down and said, Joey, guess what? Good news. This is the last time I'm ever going to spank you. And Joey's like, really? Yeah, your dad's going to do it from here on out. There's a point, Dad, where you need to step up. And a lot of times, dads drop the ball, and they make the moms do all the discipline. If you're that dad, man, shame on you. You're the man of the house. You're supposed to lead your family, and spanking is really, I think, given to that. It's the dad's responsibility. I'm not saying the mom should never do it, but there's definitely, it should lay mostly on the shoulders of the father, and especially as the kids get older. So they'd send me to my room, and then my dad would enter in with the paddle, and he'd sit down on the bed. He said, Brett, come get on my lap. And I'd sit there, and he'd say, Brett, do you know what you did wrong? Very calm, not yelling, not upset, not angry, just saying, Brett, when you pulled Jenny's hair, it hurts your sister, and that's unkind behavior. See, Brett, this is the problem. You're trying to stop violence with violence. That's just stupid. People use these words, violence. First of all, when I was pulling my sister's hair, I wouldn't really equate that as violence. I was being more irritating to my sister. That's what my job was as a younger brother. As it turns out, that's sin. And my dad said, because of sin, there's repercussions. See, here's the thing. When you Google it up, they'll say the problem with spanking is it teaches kids to be aggressive and violent. And let me explain. That is true for abusive kind of spanking. And that's the problem. They're right. If you're the mom that goes off in their Kmart, I call it the Kmart mom, because remember the flashing blue light, there's always that child ripping stuff off the shelves, and the mom's like, stop it right now. Whack, whack, whack. Like, that's abusive. That's abusive. And you will be teaching a child violence and aggressive behavior. There was nothing violent or aggressive about when my dad would sit me on my lap and lovingly say, Brett, because you did this, you're going to get a spanking. And so I got this spank. My dad would then, you know, spank me, you know, whack, 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 whack. And then he would stick me back up. I'd be crying as a little kid. And then my dad would say, now, Brett, do you understand that the Lord forgives our sin? Well, see, Brett, there's another problem. If God forgives our sin, then why are you punishing your son? Jesus took the punishment on the cross. Why would you punish your child? Here's the answer. while a child is still young, they need to learn that, yes, the Lord will forgive their sins. That's coming up in the procedure in a second. But kids need to learn in a safe environment that there's also repercussions for sin. This is something a lot of kids don't grow up with. They wonder, why am I in jail? Because there's repercussions. Oh, the Lord will forgive you, but you're still going to go to jail. There's repercussions if you're cheating on your taxes. You're still going to pay a huge fee. You know, like we need to teach, if you do the wrong thing, it causes pain in your life. And that's what you're teaching your children. So when I pulled Jenny's hair, my dad said, listen, when you do wrong things, the result is you're going to feel pain. That's what the Bible teaches. There's repercussions of sin. So he'd spank me, and then he'd sit me up and say, now, do you also understand, Brett, that the Lord forgives you for that now, if you're sorry, and if you confess? And we would pray together. My dad would sometimes, as I got older, I would say the prayer. Sometimes he would just pray for forgiveness for me. And you know what? Then we'd hug. It was nothing violent. It was nothing yelling. It wasn't crazy. It was just a lesson learned. And because I knew that if I pulled Jenny's hair again, it's a guarantee spanking. I knew that, so I didn't pull Jenny's hair anymore. I just put Tabasco sauce in her Pepsi. No, that was Tammy. That was my sister Tammy. Anyways, during my fourth grade year, I got spanked every single day. That was my rebellion. Some of you rebelled in college, fourth grade for me. I've shared this before. It's kind of funny because I shared years ago, I was saying, yeah, fourth grade, I got spanked every day. And we were sitting around the table with a bunch of family members, you know, as adults and my parents, and we were all there. And my mom said, Brett, you know, I heard you say in one of your sermons the other day that you got spanked every day in the fourth grade. And that didn't happen, Brett. We didn't spank you every day. You were such a good kid. You know, and here's my loving, sweet little mom just telling me, no, you were good. You didn't get spanked every day. And I said, Mom, I think I got spanked every day in the fourth grade. And my dad, you know, he's the guy, he's just kind of sitting at the end of the table, just listening to our conversation. And my mom says, honey, did Brett get spanked every day in the fourth grade? And my dad was just like, every day. It's true. Better the fourth grade than 40 years old. I'm so thankful that I had parents who did a lot of work driving foolishness and trying to build character. But I conclude with this, and I need to end because I'm running out of time. But point number 7, the reason we spank our kids is, this is where the singles, this is where the high schoolers, you all got to tune in. The reason we spank our children is to reflect God's character. God's character. If you're a parent who lovingly, compassionately, carefully, prayerfully spanks your children, not reaction, not violence, not anger, but loving, you are reflecting God's nature, God's character. How do I know that? Let's take a look. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges, or spanketh, every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement or spanking, whereof you are all partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Huh? Did the Bible say something? What? What's this? If you're not being spanked by God, you're not even his son. There, you know, you're either a son of God or a daughter of God, or you're not. That's the difference. If I saw a little kid running through the church here and, you know, doing something dastardly and evil, I would not spank them because they're not my child. But if it were my children when they were little and I saw them do something, it was my responsibility because they're my kids. And God takes that ownership with his kids. If you're a child of God, you will be punished, spanked, not punitively. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The punishment for your sin ultimately is death. But God correctively will punish us, and who the Lord loves, he will chasten. And it goes on, verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers out of our own flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, your dads on this earth, chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, verse 11, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. When you get spanked by the Lord, not fun. Seems grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God's character is that he wants to build within us discipline. And he loves us so much that he's gonna allow things in our lives that will correct us. I remember when my mom spanked me once. I hated that. I was like, Mom, I don't want to spank you. And she said, well, when you get to be, I said, well, I can't wait till I'm older and you can't spank me anymore. And she said, well, you know what happens then is that's when God takes over. And God lovingly will spank you just like Dad and just like Mom. But that's going to be a lot worse than what you get here. I was like, no way. My dad's spank is way worse than God's. No way, man. Didn't believe it until I became an adult and you realize, wow, the repercussions of our sins, the Lord will allow things correctively in our lives. And that's because he loves us. People don't understand who God is because they never were disciplined by their parents in a loving, disciplined, spanking kind of way. And if you've missed that as a teenager or a young person, or if you didn't have a parent who spanked you rightly, or if they even spanked you abusively, people have this distorted view of God. Well, why does God do this? Or why? And see, you'll have a more balanced parents, you will give your kids an ability to understand and know the heart of God if you represent him rightly in discipline. It's huge. The development of a kid's spiritual healthiness has very much to do with whether or not you spank them or if you just try to use the goofy M&M reward system. Watch out, Mom and Dad. Don't be duped by a world that's been tweaked and we're dropping the ball left and right on raising children. Go with the Bible. Go with God's word. That's the key. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. And so, Lord, we are thankful for your word, and even on the scriptures that are hard for us to agree with, for the things that are unpopular or even so-called science tries to say is not even true. But Lord, we've found your word to be true time and time again. I pray for the parents, the future parents, the potential parents in this room, Lord, that you would give them great wisdom. Lord, I pray that those that have anger problems, Lord, that you would teach these adults, Lord, to represent your love and your kindness and patience and compassion, even while the discipline is happening. Lord, I pray for those that have wrongly spanked. Lord, forgive them, and Lord, may there be just a reset, even right here and right now. But also the parents who've maybe neglected spanking altogether. Lord, I pray that you'd give them great wisdom. May your word penetrate their hearts, Lord, that they might hear your word and be doers of your word. Lord, we want our kids to grow up and be strong and wise, healthy and blessed. And so give us wisdom, Lord, we pray. And Father, we're thankful for the salvation you've given to us. Even though we were sinners, you still love us as sons and daughters. Thank you for adopting us. Thank you for taking us in. And Lord, we carefully but accept when you chasten us because you love us. So we go our way having heard your word. Now may it bring good fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together.
We encourage you to take advantage of our media ministry by visiting us at atheecreek.com anytime. There we have all of Pastor Brett's Bible studies available as a free download.